and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Guardian Radio AM. My name is K. Quincy Parker. I am your host for this next hour. I'm excited to be with you today. I want to start with a note to the production staff about the content of the promo for Morning Blend. I'm not sure that it is quite accurate to say that Morning Blend is the best morning show in the country on Guardian Talk Radio, when it is very clear that Guardian Radio AM is also present on the same network. So, I wanted to put it out there for the station management and for the production staff to just consider whether that remains accurate and whether that remains the case. Thank you for allowing me to get that off my chest, and I appreciate your indulgence. So the world, of course, is continuing to pay very close attention to what is going on in the Ukraine. And today there's talk of a ceasefire. This is, by my count, I think this would be the fifth round of talks between Russia and the Ukraine. There is a sort of a feeling from the coverage of the war that is now a little over 2 weeks old that Russia has exhausted its forward momentum and that it is probably going to wrap up its offensive in the Ukraine fairly soon here without having achieved most of its stated objectives, which of course most folks believe those stated objectives were spurious to begin with. So that is something that that we should continue to pay very close attention to. The world was and continues to be rightly very concerned about the effects of a protracted engagement between Russia and Ukraine. The loss of lives has already crossed tens of thousands, and it's a tragedy that in 2022, we still have world leaders who believe that the best way to prosecute their state or national desires is to send their young men and young women with weapons of destruction into another country to wreak destruction on that country. That has to be the mark of insanity. That kind of monstrosity it has no place in a modern world. But the fact that it exists perhaps calls into question the idea that we are living in some kind of world that is somehow removed from that part of human history and human tendency. But today, I want to focus a little bit on the other big story that is out there in the international news. And I want to focus on it because I think there are reflections of what is happening here in the Bahamas and in the wider CARICOM community and the region at large. Of course, I'm talking about what's going on with COVID-19. And you're welcome to call the numbers to call and interact, the 323-6232 or 325-4316. We welcome your text messages, of course, at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. You can get at me at Facebook. You can get at me at WhatsApp, even Instagram. I'm on IG as well, yes. You can tweet at me, at Funk Daddy. Love to hear from you. But let's dive into what's going on with regard to COVID-19. And the fact is that the Davis administration is contemplating and has indicated publicly at the cabinet level that they're considering removing most of the COVID-19 restrictions and entering a new let's live with COVID phase. That's a view that's kind of shared around the Caribbean and elsewhere in the world, but is it the right thing to do? Is that what we ought to be doing in the face of this pandemic disease or virus, excuse me, that has already mutated 4 times? And the 4th mutation already shows submutations. Last month, the Dominican Republic became the latest nation to drop its COVID-19 restrictions as they joined many other Caribbean islands who are welcoming travelers back to bolster tourism. We're not the only country that's seeing a resurgence. And Reuters News Service reported that despite not meeting a previously announced target of having 70% of the country's adults vaccinated against the virus, the Dominican Republic nonetheless rescinded the public health restrictions. That means the mask mandate, as well as vaccine checks in public areas such as restaurants and hotels. Those things are gone now. The Dominican Republic's president, Luis Abinader, said on social media and in a televised address that it was time to recover all our freedoms and way of life, unquote. And the health minister in that country talked about the worldwide drop in positive cases and in the death rate, having convinced Dominican Republic officials to rescind those restrictions. And in fact, that's kind of what's trending now, if you look around the world. In Canada, the cruise line Seabourn finalizes cruise plans as Canada reopens its ports. The UK, it drops all remaining travel restrictions despite an increase in cases. France lifts many coronavirus-related restrictions. In Cancun, there's a plan to lift the mask mandate. And South Korea was planning up to last week to allow quarantine-free travel beginning April 1st. So as I say, that's kind of the trend now. And of course, the Dominican Republic wasn't the only Caribbean nation to start loosening the COVID-19 rules in order to boost tourism. So visitors to Jamaica, as of this month, no longer needed the travel authorization and travel-related quarantine measures. St. Martin had a target date of March 1st to transition from the pandemic status to endemic status, which means in their country, all fully vaccinated visitors or those who had recovered from COVID-19 in the last 9 months no longer have to show proof of a negative test upon arrival. And since it's an endemic status in St. Martin, unvaccinated visitors would be required to provide a negative PCR test within 48 hours arrival or an antigen test within 24 hours. 2 weeks after Aruba eased its rules on international visitors, officials are lifting regulations that would allow restaurants and businesses to return to normal operating hours and with no limits on capacity. So in the West, we appear to have come, I don't want to make any definitive statements, but we appear to have come to the conclusion that the hell with restrictions, it's time to open up the economy and let's just get used to living with COVID-19. However, even as we in this region and on this side of the world are easing restrictions, and Europe is doing the same and saying, let's live with this, China, which was the source, reportedly, of the COVID-19 outbreak, is experiencing a new surge of troublesome proportions. And there's a report by a Chinese reporter on CNBC. You can go and find it on YouTube, but I'm going to ask the producer to play it for us now. And I want you to hear what this reporter has to say. Eric, if you could, please.
Thanks a lot, John. Well, 51 million Chinese are now in lockdown or in partial lockdown, including in the tech hub of Shenzhen. The entire population of the city is being tested for a third time in makeshift testing centers like the one behind me. Shenzhen has ordered all non-essential businesses to suspend operations for a week. Public transport and travel have been restricted. Apple suppliers Foxconn and Unimicron say that they both have activated backup plans. Foxconn said in a statement, due to our diversified production sites in China, we have adjusted the production line to minimize the potential impact. Unimicron also supplies for Intel. Now, other Chinese cities are tightening curbs as well with the COVID outbreaks so terrible at this stage. Shanghai has shut schools and is rumored to be diverting international flights to other cities this week. Beijing has also canceled several big events. All of that adding up to a COVID wave that's really sparking panic selling in Hong Kong, especially among dual-listed tech shares. Tencent as well as Bilibili, both big names, also got hit by new draft rules out of China's cyber watchdog, which is meant to protect minors for all sorts of online services, including gaming as well as video. Investors in these dual-listed shares also continue to be nervous about the heightened tensions between the U.S. and China, especially what this all means for U.S.-listed Chinese firms. The Chinese Foreign Ministry today denied reports quoting U.S. officials as saying that the Chinese were asked by Russia to assist with military gear. The foreign ministry said that this is false information. China's top diplomat is now in talks with the NSA's advisor.
All right. We'll take the out there. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. The numbers that she quoted in that report are, when you consider China's population, may not necessarily sound that big, but we're talking about 51 million people living under lockdown conditions in China as That country battles the worst COVID-19 outbreak in China since the early days of the pandemic. So my question is, as we are considering dropping all of our restrictions, and as China is the first country to experience the COVID-19 pandemic, and they had a zero COVID policy, which I guess you have to ask yourself how firmly they will stick to that policy. Do we learn from them and from what they're going through, or do we ignore that and make our own determinations even against the evidence that is in front of us? So as of this morning, more than 51 million people are living under those conditions. This outbreak has spread far faster than previous waves of less infectious variants, with daily cases skyrocketing from a few dozen last month to more than 5,100 yesterday. That's the highest figure since the early 2020 outbreak in Wuhan. Now, that number might sound low compared to other countries, 5,100 cases in one day. But it's an alarmingly high number for a nation that has attempted to stamp out outbreaks and chains of transmission with the strict zero COVID policy throughout the pandemic. As of yesterday, cases had been reported in 21 provinces and municipalities around China, including the national capital, Beijing, and other major cities like Shanghai and Shenzhen, as you heard from the reporter on CNBC. So while the cases may still be only in the thousands, as of yesterday, more than 37 people were on lockdown, and up to 51 million people were in lockdown conditions. That's partial lockdown or complete lockdown. About this latest wave, right? Cases began rising at the start of this month in a few provinces around China, including Shandong in the east, Guangdong in the south, and Jilin in the northeast. And by March 6th, Chinese experts were cautioning that the situation was severe. Chinese authorities at that time were saying that, you know, China still had the ability to control this new outbreak. Students were trapped in quarantine and were begging for help online. Jilin province, which shares a border with North Korea, soon became a major hotspot with a university cluster that prompted public outrage online after quarantine students complained of poor conditions while isolated on campus. In fact, more than 4,000 of yesterday's reported infections were reported in Jilin, and nearly half of the total infections in the outbreak have come from that province. The cases there, according to officials yesterday, haven't peaked yet. The point of this today is to paint a picture of what's going on in China, who is still going through a new surge of COVID-19, even after strict lockdown and strict quarantine policies for going on 2 years now. Authorities and state media say it's still not clear how the first few outbreaks began. Wu Zunyu is the chief epidemiologist at the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And he cited several factors, including cases imported from overseas and the prevalence of the Omicron variant, which he says have exacerbated the severity of the outbreak. And so what variant is spreading in China? The reports say that Omicron has been driving the surge. One of the reasons cases have spread so fast and are harder to trace is that Omicron's milder symptoms and shorter incubation time are creating difficulties. Chief epidemiologist Wu told a Chinese news agency that the highly infectious variant has now replaced Delta as the dominant strain in China, making up about 80% of recent cases. He added, now this is the part where it gets complicated, right? Chief epidemiologist Wu said that experts are seeing both BA1, which is the original Omicron, and BA2, which is a subvariant that was first detected in January and nicknamed the stealth variant, because at first glance on lab tests, it could look like other COVID variants. This BA2, which is the stealth variant, is about 30% more transmissible than BA1. That's according to studies from the UK and Denmark. And the stealth variant is now causing 1 in 5 cases of COVID-19 worldwide, with cases detected in dozens of countries, including the US, which should cause us in the Bahamas some concern. And that's according to the World Health Organization, by the way. That's independent, as much as possible, independent verification of the presence of the stealth variant, which is the second variant, which is a subvariant of the Omicron virus that is 30% more transmissible, been discovered in the US. So it's not yet clear whether it causes more severe disease, the stealth variant, but some studies suggest it won't likely lead to greater numbers of hospitalizations and deaths, partly because it emerged so soon after the original Omicron wave. So many people have protective antibodies, either from recent infection or from booster shots. And that's the good news about the stealth variant. But if you're not vaccinated and you haven't been boosted because, well, for whatever reasons, at this point, that's a choice that you've made as an individual, right? At this point now, nobody is going to force you to take a vaccine. Nobody's going to convince you that you need a vaccine or a booster if all of the evidence has failed to convince you up to now. But I just want to repeat that the stealth variant of the Omicron virus, of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 is 30% more transmissible than the original Omicron, and that variant has been detected in dozens of countries, including the US, which means inevitably that subvariant is going to land here if it is not already here. And if you thought that the Omicron was a wildfire of COVID, the stealth variant, BA2, is going to be much, much more prevalent. And my question, my admonition, forget a question, my admonition is, please go get vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, please go get boosted. By now, the evidence and whatever evidence you need to convince you is there. Of course, this being the information and the data age, I'm sure you can also find evidence out there to convince you otherwise. So it really just falls to your personal choice, your personal desires. And I'm encouraging you, for the sake of yourself, your friends and family, the sake of your children and your parents, the people who are depending on you, please get vaccinated. Please get boosted. Not because you have to, but because it's the smart and safe thing to do. And please don't think that I'm calling anyone who chooses not. I'm not saying anything about people who choose not to get vaccinated not being smart. I'm being very clear here that China is, all right, you know what? I think I've made the point. So what lockdowns and restrictions specifically are in place right now? So five cities in China are now under varying levels of lockdown. Residents in Changchun, Jilin City, Shenzhen, and Dongguan are banned from leaving their neighborhoods, not from leaving their city. They are banned from leaving their neighborhoods, except for essential workers and emergency services. In those cities, each household is only allowed to send one person to buy groceries every 2 to 3 days. Are you imagining what that would be like here in the Bahamas? The fifth city, one called Longfang, went a step further and prohibited all residents from leaving their homes except for emergency reasons. Several of these cities, I'm pausing in between because I want you to hear what steps are being taken and try to contemplate what those steps would mean for you if they were taken in the Bahamas. Several of these cities have suspended public transport and indoor dining. They've closed schools and are conducting multiple rounds of mass testing for all residents. Jilin City kicked off its ninth round of testing on Tuesday, with photos showing residents lining up outside in the snow, bundled up tight. For those of us, okay, and Jilin Province has also implemented travel restrictions, prohibiting residents from leaving the province or traveling between cities within the province. Here's why I am bringing you some of this information today, right? We are, as a community, up in arms, privately or publicly, quietly or very vocally, up in arms about the restrictions that the government is forced to use in the name of public safety. We want those restrictions removed, and we want those restrictions to never come back. The country which has lived with this virus the longest is demonstrating a course of action And its citizens are demonstrating an attitude towards that course of action that should be instructive to us. I want to reread one of my notes that I made that I talked about just now. City, right? So Jilin City kicked off its ninth round of testing on Tuesday, with photos showing residents lining up outside in the snow, bundled up tight. The point I'm wanting to make there is that officials aren't having to necessarily chase these people down to test them. These people are going to the testing centers to be tested because they think it's in their interests to do so. Why they think so, you can come to your own conclusions about that. But I think it's instructive that they are going to the tester. Of course, these lockdowns pose a huge logistical challenge for the government. And state television is reporting that Jilin province only has a few days worth of medical supplies in stock. So authorities are now racing to boost healthcare capacity in the hard-hit areas, like building temporary treatment centers in Changgu and Jilin, and deploying thousands of soldiers to help COVID control work. But in the aftermath of this new surge, well, which is still ongoing, so aftermath isn't the right word, as we're contemplating this new surge, China has had from the beginning a zero COVID policy, right? And as infectious variants, first Delta and now Omicron, spread in 2021, many countries abandoned that strict zero COVID approach in favor of living with the virus, which is the direction that we in the Bahamas are going to be taking as led by the Davis administration, right? So compare that with the fact that China and its territories, including Hong Kong, are also undergoing a severe wave, by the way, are the largest holdouts in terms of trying to stick to zero COVID. Although some Chinese, So we'll come back on the other side of this break. We'll come back to get into that a little bit more. Eric, we can go to that break now. Folks, you're tuned in to Guardian Radio AM. I'm Kyle Quincy Shireen Von Cedric Parker, your host, and we'll be with you very shortly on the other side of this break.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public, its customers, and the Riverine Road Yellow Elder Gardens that the corporation will commence improvement work on March 16, 2022, for a duration of 6 weeks. During this period, there may be interruptions in the water supply, road closure, and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
One thing there is no debate about is that PTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your PTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to PTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with PTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 97.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. I'll just keep going and you can figure it out. So, great. Good job. So back to the promo that I mentioned when the show started. There seems to have been some confusion as to which promo I meant. I meant there's an old promo for Morning Blend where there are guests who are talking about or supposed listeners who are talking about the fact that they believe that Morning Blend is the best show on Guardian Talk Radio, best morning show on Guardian Talk Radio. And I merely said that I encouraged the station management and the production staff to revisit that promo, given the fact that Guardian Radio AM is now a thing. It's very clear which is the best morning show on Guardian Talk Radio, and it's very clearly Guardian Radio AM. That is to answer the texter on which promo I was discussing. And speaking of texters, just to be again, we would love to hear from you if you have thoughts or you have a view on anything that we're talking about today. You can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316. And you can text us at 422-4796 as usual. Before we took a break, we were talking about the fact that China is to some degree committed to the zero COVID policy that has been its policy since the beginning. Even when you have other countries around the world, including us now, abandoning a strict zero COVID approach for living with the virus. And though you have some Chinese leaders and scientists who've hinted that China could eventually move away from the strategy, that won't likely come anytime soon. If you consider rhetoric from Chinese leadership about bringing cases back to zero. For instance, you have Han Jun, who's the governor of Jilin province, who vowed on Monday to end all community transmissions within 1 week, prompting derision, of course, on Chinese media, with many calling it an empty promise. Others urged him to address more pressing issues first, like the shortage of groceries and other essential supplies. So with the last few minutes, I want to take a look at the effect of this new wave on business and potentially on the global supply chain. So as China has locked down over this new surge, you have a lot of business that's been affected. You got multinational companies that have halted operations in China as the lockdowns have widened, including Toyota, which shut its factory in Changchun City in Jilin province and did not give a timeline for when business would resume. That Japanese car maker told the BBC that the move was made to consider the impact of supplier operation and the safety and security of employees and related parties. The German car maker Volkswagen also shuttered its operations in Changchun, saying that production of Volkswagen and Audi cars and their components was affected, but that it hoped to reopen its factory next week. And this is probably the next one is probably the most for consumers, the most important one, Foxconn, which manufactures Apple, stopped its operations in Shenzhen on Monday, saying the date of resumption would be advised by the local government. Now, of course, Foxconn has several production sites in China and told BBC that it had adjusted production line to minimize potential impact. Its plant in Shenzhou, which is the world's largest iPhone factory, remains open as the city was not hit by the restrictions. So folks who are Apple or iPhone users may see some disruptions, but they may be all right. But there's definitely going to be an issue with Toyota, Volkswagen, and Audi. We'll see how soon those things get smoothed up. So tens of millions of people across China face restrictions, obviously, including Jilin and I wanted to also mention that Shenzhen is most likely where your iPad that you're listening to the show on was made. So the restrictions that affect Shenzhen are definitely going to have an effect on iPad production as well. And so the crucial supply chain concerns are definitely real. So to focus back on Jilin province, all 24 million residents of that northeastern province were placed under quarantine on Monday. It's the first time China has restricted an entire province since the Wuhan and Hebei lockdown at the beginning of the pandemic. Shenzhen was put in a 5-day lockdown, and that's 12.5 million residents with the services suspended. It's insane to think of these actions happening right at the same time as authorities on this side of the world and authorities in this country are contemplating and moving towards not only relaxing the COVID-19 strictures, but removing the restrictions entirely. I think it is crucially important, whatever adjectives and superlatives you want to use, I think the government must take a very serious look at what the potential. Yeah, we can take the call. Absolutely. If you're ready, Eric, you can just hit it. And I'd say to the caller, thank you very much for joining us on Guardian Radio AM. You got the floor. How may we help?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Parker.
Good morning to you.
Yes. You know, firstly, I'd just like to say, have you ever heard about the Warsaw Pact?
Yes.
All right. So we need to look in. Just everybody should just Google why it was implemented as a buffer. Was moving towards a totalized globe in which to control NATO's expansion. So NATO made an agreement with Putin that they would not increase its membership after he dismantled the Warsaw Pact. But I don't want to dwell on that really because that's a long. I wanted to get on with this global international psyops, this COVID-19, right? I said a viral merry-go-round. It's starting from China again, and they're looking fit to reverberate around the world. So remember initially, State University, one of the universities, that if China had acted promptly, they would have stopped the outbreak from the break when they allowed their citizens to travel abroad and didn't allow intercommunal travel within their country, right? So the thing is, China never allowed the WHO officials to access the raw data. They took down about 15 of their databases with about 22,000 genomic sequences. Right? This is nothing to do with me, you know. And the fact that the NIH is right now under litigation, right, being forced by litigation to disclose information by the Chinese scientists that can actually disclose and document the origins of the outbreak, right? And the last study that funded and said they ruled out the lab leak hypothesis, right, and always sticking to the zoonotic jump, Dr. Fauci actually runs that entity. And so as spectators have discovered, right, and other scientists them, that this virus is using an unusual sequence where it has a CGG combination CGG, which means cysteines are just amino acid sequences, which they haven't found in any other SARS-like viruses. So you people see, if you're not understanding the science, the chief spokes lady for the CDC, her name is Nordlund. I can't remember her first name right now, but she actually called for the public to be more educated on the scientific literature because we're being duped. We've had the president of the United States come on the radio and tell the people if you get vaccinated, you wouldn't get COVID and you wouldn't have the viral particles in your body. We have had our own prime minister said that, and there's a lot of disinformation. So even with the boosters, right, I said we'll be in a viral merry-go-round because most people really don't understand. So you're saying because of the internet, people would this and that. So that means we can't think for ourselves because the fact that a year ago, I was studying the molecular events post-mRNA vaccination into the interstitial or the muscular, all right, and what happens subsequently with the mRNA, transfer RNA, ribosomes, et cetera. Right now, I cannot find that clip because all of the videos they have are incongruent with what they want. Now, opponents, people who support the zoonotic origins, right, they must explain why the coronavirus has been mutated, right? It picked the least favorable CGG combination, which is unnatural. So in order, I'm running with a new hero has emerged. Her name is Dr. Alina Chan, right? And Matt Ridley. They wrote a book called Viral. So if you want to find out what's going on, you have to read that. And then you can also explain to me why is it that the Pfizer has to be forced through litigation to release 80,000 pages of the experiment, which in 10,000 was released the other day. And it's online for everybody to read. And it's actually pointing towards a less efficacious vaccine. It also shows a study that from the demographics from 19 to 40-something years old, I mean 5 to 11 years old, the vaccine was only 12% efficacious, and it actually was less efficacious just after 8 weeks. So this is why me, 52, is calling for a scientific journalist. And since nobody has emerged, right, maybe some of them would like to answer these questions because I have a compendium of lies that are being told to the general public at large. And so most people are not knowledgeable enough in this field to even know if they're being lied to. But must realize, like I said, the papers, the first 10,000 papers reveal the fact that we're being duped because I've said for over a year now, there's no way you could determine the cytotoxic, right, and epigenetic changes from the vaccine. It was just too fast for them to roll over, but they're actually preying on our ignorance. And so the fact that they should have never used this particular virus to do a gain-of-function research because of its virulency. And we know what the gain-of-function research is. The virus has enhanced itself and increased its ability to do a stargate reception and transduce itself into the cell because of the receptor-binding domain and the terminal domains in which these are stuck open and the virus is able to move freely along the cell wall and have a field day in infecting humans. And this is what, you know...
If I may, right? A part of the challenge that we have with this conversation is the language, right? You are right to say that most people are not aware of the science of the research. Most people do not have the vocabulary to discuss the issue properly. But so when you talk about it, and when you are sharing information, you can't then turn around and use language that you know the vast majority of this community will not understand. So I appreciate your call, and I support any opportunity that we have to open the platform for open-minded discussion. But I feel like the language that you're using is like on the other side, like that it is almost designed to confuse. Whereas you are not trying to confuse people. You see what I'm saying? But you hung up it. All right. Well, that's unfortunate. All right. So that's going to do it for us here today. I wish you had none of it. Take the point, right? Don't take it for granted that what is happening here is the only thing that's happening. And as you are holding your own discussions around the water cooler and at home, make sure that you have the latest information, because the world is big and we're a part of it. And that's what it's all about here on Guardian Radio AM. We'll see you soon. God bless. The news is up next. I'm your host, K. Quincy Parker. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.